whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Hey, I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. Gentman Jenkins, that's what it stands for. That's why it's my main G. Gentman Jenkins, remember that. I have no idea why you should, but remember that. Evan, and winter meetings are coming up. Baseball America's released its top 10 prospects. And what are the Tigers going to do this offseason? I think we're about to get a much better idea. I think in a week or so, we'll know exactly. The question is, what should they do? And they've got obvious holes. And one of the rumors that was out, I don't know if it's a rumor, I think it's sourced, is that the Tigers have interest in Nolan Arenado, the third baseman, who's he's a Hall of Famer in my mind. If he plays a few more years, he'll have the war that's necessary to do it. He's got the honors to do it. And Arenado would be an expensive player for 3 years, considering what he brings to the table, which isn't as much as he did during his prime. I think a lot of Tiger fans kind of get bitter beer face when they think of Nolan Arenado at this stage of his career. I think it might be something that works. I don't think there's any way you want to give Alex Bregman as much as what you would he's going to get. You don't want to give him 6 years. If you've got Arenado for 3 years, he's off the books after 3 years. And I think he would give the Tigers a shot in the arm for them to possibly win the division this year. And I think that's something that's important, that they can maybe take a run this year. And if for a couple years, you would have him. The problem is, if he doesn't work out, you're still obligated to a lot of this contract, over $20 million a year, and you've already got the Javi Baez problem. And I think the Tigers are going to buy out Javi Baez. I don't see any way they're going to carry him like they're saying. So in this situation, would that be a gamble we're taking for Nolan Arenado? I think it would have to get the Tigers a better chance. But again, on the back end, you might regret it. Thing is, I don't see any third baseman in their system ready to play. They've got to get a veteran third baseman.
Yeah, so you do envision him playing third here, because I know the report with Arenado was that he was also open to playing first base where he went. And right. A lot of people took that as like a slide at Torkelson or whatever. But you're right, they do have an obvious hole, and the guy is a perennial Gold Glover when it comes to playing third base, whether it was with the Rockies or the Cardinals. So I would be all for it. I think the fans that might be against it, and you touched on it, would have PTSD from the end of Cabrera's contract or even Javier Baez. So, but I agree that you do need some veterans in this locker room, and I think I would be all for it as a Tiger fan.
Well, I think it would be something that would work for them. They have the beauty of pretty much everything any team would want right now. I know people are like, well, they're going to spend their money. What are they going to do? Well, they have flexibility to do that. I wouldn't say they have money to waste, but they have money to get a specific player for a short period of time for a little more than what you would normally pay. And that's what free agency is about. In this case, it would be a trade. And they do have the prospects, I think, that would interest the Cardinals. Now, would I give up one of their top 10 prospects for Nolan Arenado? No. But they've got a prospect pipeline that goes a lot deeper than that. It's just interesting to me because I do think they have to fill third base. And you mentioned first base. There would be a flexibility issue there. Maybe he would play first base if you were in a pinch. But who's going to play third? And you have to have right-handed bats. If they acquire a free agent player who doesn't hit from the right side, it's not worth it.
Right.
They got to get somebody that can hit from the right side, because Meadows is a lefty, Carpenter's a lefty, Riley Green's a lefty, Colt Keith's a lefty. So they don't have right-handed hitters. Their best right-handed hitter is who? You know, you're still going to depend on Ibanez, Matt Gerling. You know, guys like that. The other thing is, are you so sure shortstop's set with Trey Sweeney?
And I mean, they probably are, don't you think?
I think they're well, who's going to play against left-handed pitching then? Are they going to play a Zach McKinstry type at short again? I mean, I honestly sit there, and he's a lefty hitter, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, who do you have? So you've got to get somebody that, you know, would play perfectly for him. You know, so they're going to have to do something along those lines. The Kim player from San Diego would be perfect for him because he can play all three different positions. But he's had shoulder surgery, so nobody knows exactly where he's at. But that might drive down the value of his contract so you can get him for a reasonable price. But he's an outstanding player if he's healthy. And he fits into their strike zone discipline thing, which would help them across the board. But they're far from a complete team. They've got holes everywhere. First base, as far as I'm concerned, is a hole.
Yeah.
You mentioned the whole thing about Torkelson. How are you going to fill that need? You know, Christian Walker would be ideal for him, but is he going to take a 2-year contract? He's going to want upwards of 20-some million. Would it be worth it? Because every player hits a wall at some point. And Arizona is a pretty good home run park and hitter's park. Comerica Park isn't as bad as its reputation that way. But to me, there might be a step back in how many home runs he would hit if he were to play his home games in Detroit. So, again, that's the names that I would think of in different circumstances. You know, the other trade pieces for third base aren't particularly appealing. I don't think Key Ryan Hayes makes people excited or whatever with what they're going to do.
From Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, they could trade for him, but I don't know, you know.
It's a younger guy. I mean, he was one of the hot prospects coming up, and he just never really materialized to what they hoped he was going to be. But, I mean, are the Tigers looking for projects like that, or are they looking to win right here, right now? That's the thing that's most interesting to me. Did their playoff appearance accelerate what they should be trying to do right now? And I kind of believe yes, because you've shown that you could win with a Jekyll and Hyde offense and what they did with their pitching staff and everything.
Heckle and Jive's more like the Pistons and what they do.
Yeah.
But that's for another day. But the bottom line about it is, when you look at it, you know, what are they going to do? And here's one of the intriguing things here. The list, and Baseball America's come out with their list, Evan, of their top prospects heading into 2025. They have Jackson Jobe number one, Max Clark number two, Kevin McGonigal number three, Bryce Rainer number four. At number five, they have Tayron Lorenzo. At number six, they have Dylan Dingler. At number seven, Jace Young. Number eight, Trey Sweeney. Number nine, Josue Bursino. And number 10, Brant Herder. So that's their top 10 right now. When I look at that list, I would say I wouldn't have Dingler in the top 10. I think he's got a chance to be a good player. It's not that. I just don't. I see these other guys as having a higher upside. And I'm not sure where I would put Trey Sweeney on this list. I think Jace Young probably in the same spot. I would definitely take Josue Bursino and move him up to a higher spot, probably number six, all right, on that list. I don't have a problem with the first four. I would probably flip-flop Lorenzo with Rainer. So the list that I would have Jobe at one, Clark at two, McGonigal at three, Lorenzo at four. At number five, I would have Bryce Rainer. Number six on the list, I would have Josue Bursino. That's how I would go with it. And Jace Young at seven, I would probably put Ho-Yu Lee at number eight. He's not in the top 10, but what he did in Double A at 21 last year was very impressive. And then at number nine, I would have in that list. It would be Trey Sweeney. And then number 10, instead of Brant Herder, to me, who's really not a rookie anymore, and he's a reliever, I would probably put somebody that was younger up into that spot that I see with more of an upside, and it would probably be Jaden Hamm, the pitcher, who was pretty good with West Michigan last year. But when you think of that, that's a list that's going to have at least seven in the top 100, I think, when they come out with their preseason.
And where do they rank among Major League Baseball with their prospects? Because the way that I listen
to it, top five.
Okay, I look at it. I would say this is the best position that they've been in years and years. Wouldn't you agree?
That's the best position they've been in probably ever.
Okay.
The only comparable you could have is when you go back to the late 1970s. When they had those great drafts with Trammell, Whitaker,
okay,
and Gibson and Morris and Petrie and Lance Parrish, that's the only time that they would be comparable to this. And that those two drafts, though, the one especially, you know, in which Trammell was taken and they took Ozzie Smith and didn't sign him, you know, those two drafts, but one in particular, the one that Trammell was involved in 76, that was one of the greatest drafts in baseball history. So, you know, that you have to go back at least that far for that.
And so I don't know much about Scott Harris. He's not out there talking like he's Jerry Jones. But do you or could you imagine him moving some of these prospects for a big-name player?
They
during
have
the week?
To.
Okay. Whether it's this year, next year, midseason, whatever that might be.
You have to. You can only keep so many players on the 40-man, and then all of a sudden the Rule 5 draft becomes a problem.
Okay.
So the big prospects, they're not going to move Rainer at this point. Nobody is going to be that interested at this point anyway because he's so young and he hasn't even played in the minor leagues. They're not going to move McGonagall. They're not going to move Clark. They're not going to move Lorenzo. They're not going to move Bruceno. They're not going to move those guys, but they might move Jace Young. They might even move Hoyu Lee because where are they going to play?
Right, if they're jammed up, yeah.
Yeah, Cole Keith is going to be their second baseman. I don't believe that they're going to move Cole Keith to first base anytime soon because he actually did a pretty good job by the end of last year. So you got a logjam at second, you got a hole at third. What does that tell you? So they got to go out and look for shortstops, and they got to go out and look for third basemen. Guys that in the next year or two can play those positions perhaps in the major leagues or an established major league veteran like a Nolan Arenado or somebody along those lines. It's a thin list for third basemen to trade for.
Right.
It just is. That would be in the realm of trading for it. You know, the Alec Baum thing. I mean, what you're doing is getting the third base version of Spencer Torkelson.
Great.
No, it's very similar. Different personalities, different style of players in a certain way.
Yeah. But
the same type of MO in he was the third overall pick in the draft. He's had one really solid half season, and the rest of it's just been terrible, considering the expectations. So I'm not sold on Alec Baum as somebody that they would trade for, and I don't think they would. I honestly don't think he would be on their list. And I think they wouldn't mind getting a veteran guy. So
I agree with that.
So that's the way they're set up. And also the starting pitching. You know, everybody talks about their starting pitching like, oh, man, they have no starters. When in reality, you look at it, you've got obviously Tarek Skubal, and then you've got somebody like Reese Olson, who's basically potential number two or, you know, 3-4 starter rotation guy. And you've got a situation where Casey Mize is coming back from an injury second year back. Is Casey Mize part of your starting rotation? And Jackson Jobe is clearly going to be. So it's not like they have no starters. Now, I would think that they'll sign a starter or two, like they've done every year Scott Harris has been here.
Yep.
And the question is, how much do you spend on a starting pitcher when you know they only go five or six innings these days? And that your bullpen, your pitching by chaos, worked like a friggin' charm. I mean, when they lost Flaherty, they got better. And it wasn't just because of the acquisition of Sweeney.
It was wild. It really was.
So those are the things that they'll be talking about. But anyway, enjoy this. Enjoy talking about it. Don't forget to like us. Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's the iTunes Store. We like the iTunes Store. And the Google Play Store, Odyssey.com. We'll get into it pretty heavy with the NFL draft. We do all the sports, hockey, all those things. We'll look at the prospects of the Red Wings and different factors and all the sports across the board. Evan, thanks. Until next time, we'll see you.